are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, welcome back to Locked On Spurs right here on the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Jeff Garcia with News 4 San Antonio and Fox29SanAntonio.com. Glad to have you back. And hey, if I told you the Spurs would go 4-1 on their roadie, well, not roadie road trip, but that's coming down the line, but in this current little mini roadie, I'm pretty sure none of y'all would have bought that. And y'all would have said, sell, I'm not buying that. I got to play the Lakers, the Clippers. And yeah, lo and behold, guess what? The Spurs wrapped up their five-game roadie going 4-1 after beating the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, by now, you know what happened in that Thunder game. You know, who were the X's and O's, who had the most points. We're going to dive into what happened during the road trip, what went right for the Spurs, as well as who stood out. Was there anybody that really stepped up their game in the last five games? To do that and more, I am joined by the man, the myth, the legend, Casey Vieira, San Antonio sports reporter, who's about to be a YouTube star very soon. We'll talk about that later.
I hopefully that works out with the in the same conversation that you just kind of gave me with that lead in. I don't know. Nothing mythical about me.
Well, first of all, I'm glad to have you back. And yeah, we'll tell everybody about what Casey has cooking later on in the show. So, Casey, let's get things going off here. Look, you know, I think if this road trip was starting right now and we're saying, yeah, right, you're going to go to the Lakers and beat them and beat the Clippers and do X, Y, and Z and keep their steals to their turnovers to a minimum, I bet we all would have laughed. But lo and behold, Casey, they come out 5-1 and impressive fashion. When you look back at these past five games, what stands out for you?
I'm glad that you're a nice guy and that you didn't queue up my prediction in advance to what I said the last time we were going to be on here, because I said they were going to go 1-4 and they did anything but, man. I mean, they looked awesome. They looked awesome. And I think the big thing that really kind of stood out for me was the fact that they looked, honestly, for the first time all year, just deep. You know what I mean? Especially the latter two games when DeRozan went down, or wrong terminology, I guess. DeRozan missed the last couple games, more so the OKC game, looking deeper as opposed to the Minnesota game. But it showed a little bit of the team's versatility to mix and match a little bit. And I like throwing out a lot of these different lineups, and a lot of the – you know, first month of the season or so is so much of the aspect of throwing things at the wall and see what sticks. You know what I mean? Experimenting with new lineups and rotations and things with that. And it felt like over the past week or week and change or whatever it was, everything that they were throwing out there was working in some capacity, largely for the most part. And as a result, you come back home off of a 4-1 road swing. It's pretty good.
Yeah, overall, this team looks very impressive. And we'll get to specifics later as far as which individuals really opened your eyes. But collectively, this team, you know, for as young as it is, I think it's the youngest ever in Pop's tenure in San Antonio, for it to be so resilient, for these kids to weather the storm when the Lakers clawed back and it looked like, okay, here's the flood coming. You know, the Laker flood is here. They're going to wipe out this young Spurs team. And they didn't. Same thing with the Clippers.
No.
Third quarter run by the Clippers, going into the fourth quarter, nothing. You know, they withstood it and they punched back. And even in that back-to-back with Minnesota, I mean, you know, they definitely looked gassed. They were short on guys, you know, because DeMar DeRozan had to exit because of personal issues. But nevertheless, they still put up a valiant fight. And I think that's what I'm looking at when I see this young team. They're not built with star power. There's not like, there's a John Moran on this team or a Luka Doncic on this team. Collectively, they're coming together, and collectively, they're getting the job done. Casey, I believe you could, like, pretty much how many players have led this team in scoring every other game? That's what it feels like. One night is Lonnie. One night is
it feels
Dante.
Like a different guy.
Yeah,
every,
one
yeah,
night is
a
KJ.
Different guy every other game. Yeah.
One night is DeMar. I mean, when you're seeing this, and I don't know we're 11 games in now. But now we have a sample size. Now we got something to work with. Do you think this was a launching pad for the kids, this young team, or do you still think this is a work in progress?
I think it depends how high they're going to launch. You know what I mean? What's the, I guess, trajectory, the elevation here of that launch pad? Because it certainly doesn't hurt when you go 4-1 on a trip like that. It certainly doesn't hurt, but is it going to propel them to the context of being a top four team in the conference? No, I don't think it does that. But does it propel them into the conversation of being then better than what a lot of people expected? I certainly think so. Do they look like a playoff team right now? I mean,
right now,
6-5. Right now, yeah. Right at this very moment, yeah. in mid-January that we're at right now, yeah, they do. But again, we're essentially a seventh into the season right now. They're in a good stretch, and it depends. It depends. You go back to that launching pad terminology. It depends kind of what your expectation is as well. Now that we know what they are, or at least getting a glimpse of the positive side of what they're going to be, do you elevate your expectations with this, seeing the way that they're playing now too? Do you kind of keep the same way that they're at, kind of that level headed, knowing that you're going to get your moments of high and low entering the year, and this is the high, not trying to get too high? You know, what does one figure out here? But right now I do, it's obviously beneficial. Yeah, of course. What was that?
Well, for me now, when I'm looking at this team, you know, before the road trip, when we're kind of, you know, future forward looking, like, okay, the Lakers and the Clippers, yeah, they're going to get steamrolled, blah, blah, blah. You know, and now, at this point now, looking forward into the schedule, I know they got Houston up next, and I look at that team, and I know they're a mess right now, but nevertheless, on paper, they should beat the Spurs. And I look, you know what? I don't think they can beat them. You know, now my tone has changed where if I see a powerhouse team on the horizon, I'm thinking, you know what? They got a shot versus what it was before the season when I was like, yeah, no way this team can take it to you know, the Lakers or the Bucks or whoever you put out there in front of us, Casey.
Right. So I'm looking at the schedule because I know the last time I was on the show was the day after the Utah loss. So that was January 4th.
Yeah.
The Utah, the game was the 3rd. I was on the 4th. You had me on January 4th. Now we're going into 13th, Wednesday the 13th. So 10 days, the total narrative of that conversation changed. Because remember, like, going into that road trip, we were like kind of messing around, but then that joking came around seriously. They're saying, is this team going to win 10 games from now out of the stretch what they have? And you're saying it tongue in cheek, and then you brought it up. You're saying, oh, no. Wait a minute, because after that Utah game, they did not look like a team that was going to go beat the Clippers and the Lakers in their gym back-to-back nights. Know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but that's kind of, I think, what we should expect with these guys and kind of what the expectation was with this team going forward was that they're probably going to be streaky. They're going to be up and down and play to that kind of middle-of-the-pack squad that they were expected to be. When you're 500, you're gonna have stretches just like they did before that when they lost 4 in a row, and you're thinking they're not gonna win 10 games from now until the all-star break, or then whatever you want to call it, the break in the season. But they come back, they win 4 or 5, and we're thinking that, hey, they look like a playoff team. So it's just kind of take what you can get. I think the best thing for all of us though right now is to you know, watch this basketball that they're playing and again, acknowledge what it is. Mm-hmm. They look good, but there's a lot of basketball left here and a lot of basketball left here. So we got to be a little bit careful, I think.
Yeah. It's enough to raise your hopes about this team, but we'll see what this team looks like when this young team gets to face different things that they're not facing right now, such as a longer season versus 8 games in the bubble. The COVID impact, and we'll talk about that later, but right now it is affecting teams right now. How can they handle that? But all in all, no, I mean, this road trip is just eye-opening, and, you know, I mentioned it earlier, the turnovers and the mentality, you know, they're keeping turnovers low. They're the league's best in taking care of the ball, and the mindset of this young team is like, they come in and they want to win. And this is not like, well, we're still learning, you know, We're growing. Give us a shot. No, they want to win now. And let's hear what DeJounte Murray had to say about that mentality.
The mentality was great from the start of. I think after we lost that, you know, that back-to-back to Minnesota, we was already all locked in as a unit. knowing that it's a must win going to OKC and shoot around, you know, to pregame all the way to, you know, the jump ball. Everybody was locked in and, you know, we just came out and fought and we had the game plan and we stayed together. And like I said, we just competed and it was real big and it was fun to watch just to see everybody, you know, stay poised and stay together.
Right there. I mean, poise, staying together, the mindset. I would have never thought that would have come out of this young team, Casey.
No. And I'm glad you mentioned it earlier because it was something I was going to say as well, is the idea of the poise that they've showed throughout this road trip is that, and to be honest, it probably speaks to the how much it benefits these young teams, especially, but the visiting teams, not having fans in the building to turn the tide a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's that ability to not let the team on the road, when you're that visiting team, that home squad's making a push, kind of stomp on their throats right there and say, mm-mm, no. Yeah. This snowball, we're not rolling all the way down the mountain. You know what I mean? Like, we're giving you your moment. We're cutting you off here. And you don't see that with young teams. You don't. But this team right now, they're showing that. And that's good. And it's a testament to the way these guys are operating right now. And for their sake, hopefully it's something that they can build off of going forward.
And I think they will. But we're not done talking about these Spurs and their five-game roadie and coming out 4-1. Not bad, huh? Not bad at all. When we get back, we're going to now look at individual performances. Who stood out for Casey? Who stood out for me? Who maybe isn't standing out right now? And I think we all know who that is. But we'll definitely talk about that in just a few minutes. But before we do that, Bet Online. There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Look, NFL playoffs around the corner. The NBA is here. There's a lot of sports you can get into the action over at betonline.ag. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Use that promo code Locked On to get yourself a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sports books expert. We are back, and I'm joined by Casey Vieira, San Antonio sports reporter, and as mentioned, soon to be YouTube star. See what I'm doing there for you, Casey? I'm pumping it up. I'm building it up.
Really emphasizing that.
So when we talk about it in a few short moments, all fans will be subscribing to your YouTube show, and hopefully.
I hope so, man. Yeah. I hope so. We'll see how it goes. I hope so.
Well, seeing how things go, we'll look how things went. As we continue to talk about the Spurs five-game road trip and them finishing 4-1. Now, we talked about the team collectively. Let's talk about individuals now. You're looking back at these five games, Casey. Who stands out for you the most?
I think the easy answer is Patty Mills suddenly having this, whatever we're going to call it, FIBA Patty resurgence all of a sudden and is – getting these looks down the stretch, becoming the guy, so to speak. I know the Minnesota game was a little bit of a different circumstance, but getting these kind of chances to take and make pivotal shots down the stretch. I know in the earlier portion of the road trip, I was more of the make part as opposed to the take part. That aspect, I think, certainly opened eyes a little bit, but DeJounte Murray actually looked pretty good. I thought he looked pretty good from the standpoint that there's a lot of these games where it just seems like he plays a little, for lack of a better term, I guess you could say reckless. That might be a little too strong, but it's kind of one of those things where he's just kind of go, and it's just some of those decision-making moments, you wonder where they are. It's almost a sense of a lapse in judgment. It didn't look that way. And I think the numbers kind of speak to it, not necessarily with him per se, but those turnover numbers are solid. The fact that last night, four turnovers was the number last night, correct? Mm-hmm, OKC yes. game?
Yeah, four, yeah.
So, I mean, something like that there and being consistently work, being able to hold on to the basketball, obviously, yeah, no kidding, that's good. Mm-hmm. But for a past few, the past few nights, not having DeRozan there as well, a lot of that focus was going to turn to him. And to a mixed bag, to a certain degree, the Minnesota game, you could would have hoped for a little bit more down the stretch when they couldn't execute. But largely 4 out of 5, I thought Murray looked much improved from what we saw. That 1 of 4 was a 1 of 15.
Yeah,
that dud he threw up a couple weeks of 13. Yeah, a good bounce back. This trip was a good bounce back.
It really was. And, you know, yeah, you tip your cap at Murray. For him, you know, Popovich after the win over Oklahoma City, I've never seen Popovich glow about a player like he did. And he's done that a lot with Duncan and Manu and Tony and even Kawhi. But, mm-hmm. I mean, the way Pop was just commending Murray was wow. I mean, just, you know, proud of him. He looked like a proud dad seeing his son, you know, just excel on that court. And he even likened it to how Tony Parker came around as a point guard. And that's what Pop stressed recently, is that Murray's becoming a point guard. He's no longer that scoring guard that many thought, like, well, maybe he's better off the shooting guard. No, he's becoming a point guard. And dare I say, a byproduct of Derek White being out, you know, because they need somebody to run to be that floor general. And Murray is doing that. So, yeah, you tip your cap to DeJounte. But I want to tip my cap to Lonnie Walker. You know, he was another guy that was under the microscope heading into this season. I mean, a lot of Spurs fans were saying, okay, Lonnie, what are we doing here? Come on. And so far, not bad. Career high in scoring and steals and rebounds. You know, back-to-back 20-plus point outings. Stepped up when DeMar DeRozan was out due to personal reasons. You know, he could have probably, if he had enough gas left in his tank, won that second game against Minnesota the way he was playing. Nevertheless, Lonnie Walker is just opening my eyes, and this road trip showed it. And again, even after the win over Oklahoma City, he's still saying no. He goes, he told the media on hand there, Casey, that he was upset that he found himself falling into that inconsistency pattern during the road trip. He said he saw it coming, and this is a sign of growth. This is a sign of development. He recognized it and he corrected it, and he came correct in that Minnesota game where he took over that game, and then, you know, the second game where they lost, and then of course versus the Thunder. So Lonnie Walker, the X's and O's are proving it. The mentality is still there. I like what I'm seeing out of young Walker, Casey.
Yeah, I feel like I should have taken that to give him his due, because you know me, I'm kind of the resident Lonnie Walker cynic. I mean, I like him, good guy, but of course, coming into this year, it's been a conversation, as we know, but it's been good Lonnie so far. And you got to be fair, you got to give him credit where credit's due. And the thing I like about that the most is the fact that it's one thing to hear him consistently say things, paraphrasing here, to take accountability, to be aware of his struggles. I'm going to do it. I'm aware. I'm going to fix it. Blah, blah, blah. How many times have we seen a player say that before and nothing really comes of it? Lonnie, I mean, he was his own harshest critic. I mean, he heard what everyone's saying. It's hard to deny what was happening. There's not much of a defense. But if we're going to be fair here, he was the one first in line that's acknowledged it, and that was the first step, and then he grew and improved, and largely for the most part of the season, we're not getting rockets, Lonnie, but very few and far between. Well, are you going to get rockets, Lonnie? But you're going to get if you can get a good, productive basketball player 80% of the time. We're not asking, you know, you're not asking for Lonnie Walker to erupt for 17 in the fourth or whatever it was every single night. But if you can go out there and affect the game in a positive capacity for 48 minutes, well, that's good. That's good. And Lonnie's done exactly that.
All right, let's hear from Lonnie Walker. What do you have to say about his play during the road trip?
A little bit disappointed on my style of play the past few games. You know, I would have a good game, then I'll have a bad game, and inconsistently was getting the best of me. And I would say that Timberwolves game, when I had about 7 points, kind of ate me up alive. You know, once I couldn't go to sleep that same night, knowing that we had a back-to-back, and I wasn't happy with how I played offensively and defensively. You know, my effort wasn't there. And, you know, I knew that wasn't me. All this hard work that I done put in on the offseason, I got to let it be known. You know, I got to play with that confidence.
Right there, you heard it, the word confidence, and he's playing with confidence. What if it was something as simple as that for him, just to believe in himself that he belongs in the league, Casey?
Could have been. Could be. Does this type of Lonnie Walker last year, a second-year guy, after sitting on the bench for however many games it was, the first 15 games it felt like before he got relevant minutes, does he become – does he let that dud that happens after a strong start, does he let that really get to him and then ultimately leading to him being stapled to the bench, much like was the case many of times last year with Lonnie? Yeah. And so far, that hasn't been the case. And he had a nice bounce back, like he said, in that second Minnesota game. And last night as well, it's good. And it's kind of the growth of Lonnie Walker. Of course, we're a little ways to go here, but this is what you want to see. This is what you want to see. You want to see the growth out of these guys. You want to see the acknowledgement of their highs, but also be cognizant of their lows and how they build off that. And this is that next step we were hoping to see with Lonnie. And you got to be fair. If you're going to be a critic of him like myself, you got to be fair and acknowledge when he's doing all the right things. And largely for the most part right now, he's doing all the right things.
Yep. And he's even on the break too. And he's finding an open man, you know, he's distributing, you know, as best he can. So yeah, you're loving what you see out of Lonnie. But again, we temper this by saying, you know, we have a sample size now that we can start already seeing where we're going with this team, but there's still a lot of NBA games to be played.
I wanted to just come back to something because you were talking about how, Pop was I think you said beaming was your terminology, correct?
Yeah, he was beaming.
Just thinking last year, it was after when I was on the road trip, it was after the Philly game, their East Coast road trip in November where they lost 8 in a row or whatever it was, and the Philly game. And I remember asking him after the game something to the effect of, you know, does this with the implication being that this team was not going to be very good and that they were going younger, it was something to the effect of, are you still enjoying this at, you know, in this transitional phase? I can't remember the exact wording. Truth be told, I was expecting to get chewed out, but something to the effect of, are you enjoying this process, this new kind of transitional phase from young to from old to young, what's that like for you? And he gave me that answer. He said, yeah, you know, you want to see these young guys to succeed and all that stuff and embrace it as a different challenge, all those kind of cliche answers. And at the time, you're just thinking kind of coach speak with it. So when you hear things like you saying that Pop was beaming, and I saw the Zoom afterwards, and he was certainly close to it. I mean, for his standards, I mean, he looked very happy, and it was kind of prompted that memory last season for me. I guess that was November 2019. Now that he was aware of what was coming. And it wasn't necessarily coach speak. You know, he's like, I think he knew I'm going to embrace this new challenge that I haven't seen in 20 plus years, whatever it's been. And let's have fun with it. Let's see where it goes. And let's test these guys and watch them grow. And the sense of reward on his end, and very much, as you can tell, very much equally, I guess, validating, so to speak.
Yeah, definitely. And of course, a lot of other kudos can go out, you know, Keldon Johnson, you know, just being a relentless at the rim, developing an outside shot, still needs some work. You know, he's opening eyes. He's continuing to open eyes. But I think
he was exposed a little bit on this trip, though.
Right? Yeah, he was. But you're
he was exposed a little bit.
But when you have Zion and LeBron and Siakam and almost Daly, it's going to take away from maybe you know, your offensive end. But nevertheless, he's done well. But hey, there's just a lot of good stuff to talk about the Spurs team right now, you know, as they get back to San Antonio to host the Rockets. But when we get back, we're going to continue a little bit more about what we've been seeing from the Spurs team in the past five games, but also kind of tackle a heavier topic more real world topic, and that is COVID and the NBA. And we'll talk about that in just a few seconds. But look, rockauto.com is a family business serving auto part customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for the auto and body parts you need from hundreds of manufacturers. You need tail lamps, you need lights, you need motor oil. They have it all there at rockauto.com. You even got new carpet if you need some. So whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Rock Auto, their catalog is extensive, it's unique, it's easy to navigate, and you can see all the parts available that you need right now for your car, right then and there. And you can even pick the specification and prices you prefer. Go to rockauto.com right now to see all the parts available for your car or truck, right? Locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts you'll ever need, rockauto.com. Back, and I'm joined by Casey Vieira, San Antonio sports reporter. Follow him on Twitter at Casey_Vieira. So Casey, you know, we're going to talk about Jakob and his play in the last five games. So briefly, in a nutshell, everybody, because Casey and I talked about this off, you know, during the break, we don't know what's going on with him. We just hope he gets better. And when you don't get a block in seven games straight and you score 1 point in a loss to Minnesota, yeah, you know, you need to step up your game. But, you know, we're going to shift gears quickly because the Spurs and Rockets are going to hook up tomorrow at the AT&T Center. And the Rockets, may not be with James Harden because during the recording of the show, but, you know, full disclosure, it's like the right after the game versus the Thunder, Casey alerted me that appears that James Harden just quit on the team. In a press,
yeah, we're like, all right, we got to stop. No one cares about Jakob. It's like, Jakob, we know he's not very good right now. James Harden just like bounced on his squad. Should probably hit the pause button here, Jeff.
Well, you know what? Let's just let everybody hear what happened. So, you have Harden at the podium for the Zoom conference call, and he's, you know, doing his thing, fielding questions, and he decided to bounce on them. I'm looking for the video right real quick though. You look at the situation in Houston, and you got to be feeling sorry for first-year coach Silas.
Coach Silas
going through with him right now. And, you know, well, let's just hear what exactly happened out in, I think it was Houston, when James Harden just said that, yeah, he's bouncing.
It's crazy. You know, it's something that I don't think can be fixed. So, thanks.
You walked off.
All right. Yeah.
So this helps the Spurs if he's not going to play. I think the last couple of games he's scored under 20 for the first time in a long time. So.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
So there you go. But it's – no, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, but nevertheless, you look at the situation in Houston, and look, I know this is called Lockdown Spurs, not Lockdown Rockets, but it makes sense because the Spurs and Rockets are going to hook up next. Hey, you know what? If the Spurs can catch Houston, look, Houston coming into this game for San Antonio,
they got them twice in three days. So.
This team could be what 7-8-5 when it's all said and done. Spurs got to capitalize on this. Their head guy Harden seemingly bounced on the team, quit on them, and this Rocket team. Even if that didn't happen in the post game conference call with Harden, this team. It's still a mess coming into San Antonio. All in all, you got to wonder, A, when does Houston just pull the trigger and just say, yeah, you're out of here, Harden. We agree with you. You know, you should be shipped out. And then B, the Spurs got to capitalize on this, Casey.
I would hope as much because this Rockets team is a disaster. This is an absolute disaster. What's going on right now? Beyond the X's and O's aspect of it, the whole optics of the Harden situation has been a disaster for, I guess, almost months now. This has probably gone on, and what happened with him just walking off? I mean, this is bad. This is bad. What's the Stephen A. meme? It's like it's bad. That one. It's that level bad.
Yeah.
I my thing, man, is I just wonder what's next. You know, what's next? Is Harden gone by like the end of the week, or
I don't know if he even travels with a team. Does he travel with a team to San Antonio?
I would imagine not.
Well, you said John Wall had something to say to him right after the end.
Yeah, John Wall is just kind of like, bro, what are you talking about? We're 9 games into the season. Why are you freaking out already? Paraphrase again. That's me paraphrasing. I don't know. Wall said something to that effect. That's what I saw on Twitter. But hey, you want to come up with a hypothetical trade scenario for the Spurs to get him?
Nah, I think I'll pass. I think they're just fine. They don't need that poison.
LaMarcus's
pill.
Money matches, give or take.
No. I think Spurs fans would be like, no, we're good with LaMarcus. Yeah, we'll keep nice.
He's really working around is that stretch ball.
Hey, LMA is playing very well, and you know that he's been what they were like the 5-1 with him. You look up down I-10 right now, and that Rockets team is just a mess, man. It's a mess. And the situation is not going to get better because, as John Wall properly says, like, hey, it only 9 games in, but do you really want to keep a guy like Harden and this attitude on the team for the rest of the season?
Yeah. I tell you what. Kind of gives you a different appreciation for Kawhi, and I phrase that very juicy, and here's why I say that, because Kawhi did all that whole situation went down, at least like it didn't go out him in front of a microphone in front of people saying this stuff. Kawhi just went to Planet Kawhi for that one season and let it all go through the media, just chitter chat reports, but there was never a moment like this. Where he just goes up there and says, sorry, Pop, sorry, RC, I'm out.
Yeah.
Could you imagine how that would have been received?
Yeah, that would
not
have been
received. Kawhi was like vocal like that, all the things.
Well, you know what? Maybe Spurs fans would be a little bit more like, hey, you know, at least he was being honest versus Kawhi not saying anything whatsoever.
Maybe.
I don't know. But yeah. Hey, it looks like the Spurs could pick themselves up a win. I guess the probability, if you're looking at the, you know, if you're a betting guy, you want to bet more on the Spurs getting the win versus the Rockets. So, yeah, Houston is a mess right now. It's starting to pick up steam right now on social media. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. Hey, you know what? Another thing that's kind of being a mess right now, and that is the COVID and the NBA. We got a few more minutes left in this segment, Casey. But, you know, the COVID virus is hitting the NBA. You know, games are being postponed left and right now. The Spurs are not immune to it. Although the Spurs did not use the magic word COVID-19, they just said that Drew Eubanks, Becky Hammon, and another staffer are under the health and safety protocols are in quarantine out in Los Angeles still for 14 days. Nevertheless, nobody should be too surprised this is happening to the league, considering all leagues are getting impacted by it, even the NHL recently.
Right.
But do you think the teams, the league will pause prematurely before that 2-week all-star break, quote unquote, or do you think they're just going to plow straight forward?
I think they're going to go all the way through.
I think
they're going to go all the way through and just kind of deal with it, because I don't think they view it as a competitive disadvantage, because the prospect of a breakout can literally happen with every single team. And that's when you get beyond the obvious logistics of everyone's just actual physical well-being, when you throw that given out of the way and you kind of look a little bit deeper into it, that's a lot of people's main cynicism of it, is that, well, if the Lakers lose AD or something like that for 14 days in the playoffs, well, Lakers fans would be like, you know, the heck is this, man? Like, why didn't we just shut the operation down or something to that effect? And everyone concerned that it's going to that it's going to mess up the integrity of the game and what it is. I would say that's the case, but it's not like just the Lakers are going through it. The Mavericks are going through it. The Spurs are going through it. Every team's going to be going through it. They're playing Russian roulette with every number of guys that they throw out there on the floor and go to practice every single night. So I think it doesn't necessarily make sense to stop it, because I feel like that only complicates things even more. What I think they should do is expand the rosters and give a lot of those G League guys eligibility to get called up and go back. And none of the day restrictions that they would do in years past, use your however many, what was it, 50 days that they give them to be at the NBA level. None of the two-way things, nothing like that. Expand the rosters to however many it would be. So those guys are essentially your COVID break glass in case of emergency type of players. You know what I mean? And you just go all the way through with it. And whatever happens, happens. I think what else can they do? Shut down, but is the other alternative. But is that really the best alternative?
Yeah.
When you get past, of course, the obvious of their well-being, like that's given this conversation. That's the given first and foremost.
Yeah.
But
and
you know what I'm getting at.
Yeah. And exactly.
No.
And
look, go ahead.
You're seeing it hit the Spurs. Hey, although again, for legal reasons, they cannot disclose the word COVID apparently, but for all intents and purposes, that's what Becky and Drew and the person are undergoing right now. It could be simple as maybe they were just near somebody in contact. We don't know if they have it, but nevertheless, the one guy who doesn't need to get it is Popovich. He's definitely in that age range where if he does get it, it could possibly hit him harder than a well-tuned athlete like Drew Eubanks or a younger coach like Hammond. The Spurs are, the Spurs have said already that they're taking the measures, the COVID measures, times 10. Now you throw in what the NBA and the NBPA recently did by adding more layers of protection. They can't even celebrate too much on the court now. You know that? They can only do a fist bump, and that's it. I mean, literally, that's
fist bump.
Yeah.
Elbows,
and that's it. And they're urging the players to maintain distance as best they can during games. And this is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But it's that serious. And you just hope that the NBA can find a happy middle, because you mentioned, they're gonna plow through. They're not going to stop. I don't think they're going to go to a bubble again. The players didn't like it.
No, the players will not sign off on a bubble. Yeah. No chance.
Yeah, so.
No chance. I mean, every other sport did it. Every other sport did it. They got through. They had to do these crazy, borderline, just shrug your shoulders, hilarious kind of things, just because this thing has just been so Murphy's Law over the past however many months that we're going on. But they got through it. And the history books, they'll decide themselves whether to put an asterisk on all these seasons. That's not for us to say. That's down the road. But I think in the immediacy to continue going down that road, I think you just keep playing. You expand the rosters. You be safe.
Yeah.
And unless you're going to shut the whole thing down, oof, which I don't think the players want that though. I don't.
Yeah, I think they want to keep going. They want to get paid. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah. Well. Just overall as a whole, I don't think you'll see a strong stance of these guys coming out saying, "I'm done. I'm not playing." I mean, from that context, I don't think you'll see that saying, "I don't feel safe going to the workplace." They're going to say, "You know what? I'm going to go to the workplace and be safe. If I get it, I get it." There's a lot of that.
Yeah. Well,
more so, I feel like. I might be mistaken. I mean, that's just kind of the vibe I've gotten. But ultimately, I do think they're going to just truck through it.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. But, I know everybody, this is Lockdown Spurs. But, this is a kind of an overarching topic that could impact your team if the NBA does decide to maybe slow things down or pause for a while to clear out the mess. We just don't know yet. But for you personally, though, listening in, make sure you're taking care of yourself and your family. Wear that mask, wash the hands, et cetera, et cetera. But on a lighter note, we want to, first of all, congratulate Casey and his wife for launching a brand new YouTube show. I've been teasing it all.
Thank
all
you.
Show. Why don't you give
Thank
us
you.
A,
Thank you.
A quick rundown of what to expect, where
Takes
they can
bow.
Check.
Thank you.
What can we expect from you and your wife's new YouTube show? What is it about? How can they find us? Find it. Tell us everything we need to know, Casey.
Man, we're just two millennial newlyweds. I think that's probably the best way to put it. Just kind of living our newlywed lives. And I think what we're kind of aiming for is a lot of people who are in a similar spot that we are right now, and just kind of in the lovey newlywed phase. No, not as whimsical sounding as that, but no, just kind of, I would say probably the best way to put what we're doing right now is just kind of living our lives through the optics of a San Antonio couple, just kind of doing things, local tie in with a lot of things for the San Antonio crowd. And I think really just for the most part, we wanted to kind of create another avenue or platform or just sense of dialogue, so to speak, to meet people within this community. I think that's something that we wanted to do. We view ourselves as two very outgoing, personable people who like to meet people and talk to people. And that's kind of what we're hoping that we can do with Vieira's in SA, which launches on Friday. So we're excited about it, my friend. We're excited about it. They can go to a few places. Thank you for the offer. You could, or thank you for the offer. Thank you for the acknowledgement, the lead in. On Instagram, find us, Vieira's in SA, V-I-E-R-A-S, plural, Vieira's in SA, as in San Antonio. You know me, my Twitter, Casey_Vieira, same on Instagram. Find all the information, our YouTube show right there, debuting on Friday, Vieira's in SA, episode number one. Mm-hmm. Got a few of them in the can already. We're all set to go. I don't know how it's going to work out. All I know is I've had fun shooting these. I have the best co-host I've ever had in my life.
Oh, thank you, Casey. I appreciate that. I really do.
That's
talking about me. Say. Oh, no, you're talking about your wife. I'm sorry. I thought you're...
No, I was talking about you. I was. Damn it, Jeff, you took my joke. Damn it, you beat me to it. I was going to say I have the best co-host of my life. My wife is also pretty nice, too. Damn it, you beat me to it. You're a quick one, Jeff. Vieira's in SA, Friday, YouTube. Check us out on Instagram, too, Twitter, all that. From the TV standpoint, mm-hmm. I guess you could say.
Go check out the best place to do it. Just go to Casey's Twitter, @Casey_Vieira. There you'll see the teaser. There you'll see the link to the YouTube page. And then subscribe. I already did. You should too. But hey, we're done.
Did you?
Yeah, I did already.
Oh, yeah, man. Perfect.
So we're done talking. We want to hear from you. And I get it. You know, the segment kind of got away from us with the whole Harden thing. But I mean, my God, that's huge news. It's going to impact the Spurs in the next couple of games because they're playing a home set with them. So hopefully those could be easy wins for the Spurs if they play their cards right. But we're done talking. We want to hear from you. What do you think about these Spurs and their 5-game roadie going 4-1? What stood out for you overall? Who stood out for you? Maybe who didn't stand out for you? We need to know. You can let me know on Twitter @JeffGSpursZone. Go to the Spurs Zone News for San Antonio and Fox29SanAntonio.com. And of course, subscribe to Locked On Spurs wherever you get your favorite podcasts. As we said over and over, we'll say it one more time. Follow Casey on Twitter @Casey_Vieira, and there you'll get that link to his new YouTube show with his lovely wife. So for Casey Vieira, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.